Right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go. This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now. Did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com.
Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk. I'm Jamie.
I'm Robin.
And we're your hosts.
Love is love.
If you don't have to make a family by taking a traditional ride. If these ovaries could talk, you would say.
How do I get the sperm through custom?
I am a lesbian.
So gay.
We need to tell our story.
It's not your nuclear family anymore. It's not just your mom and dad thing.
We're not ruining these little humans.
Not for the gay reason. Just because we stay.
This episode is brought to you by Trust and Will, Storyworth, and California Cryobank. Thank you for making our show a possibility. We very much appreciate it. She laughs at me every time now because I get so excited to do that. I don't know why. I'm a voiceover artist. That's why. Stop laughing at me, Robin. Hi, guys.
Oh, my God. My favorite part. Hi, everyone. My favorite part is if you could see this, we have a little script. I know it's hard to believe we have a script, but we do. And our news item for this intro is just assholes on public transpo. And I think that's hilarious. We had the audacity to call that a news item.
Because
Jamie,
for me right now, it's serious news. Consider this everyone's PSA about, I don't know, I'm
what
having
happened,
so
Jamie?
Much
just
mom
tell us
rage.
What
I have so... So we take two, my kids take two public buses to school, and I have a three-year-old with me now. So there's two kids, and one of them is three, that I have to get on two separate city buses. I cannot explain enough how pissed off I am at people on buses. Listen, folks, if you are an able-bodied individual and you see somebody who needs a seat more than you, get your ass up and offer your seat. I got on the bus this morning. It was a crowded bus. I'm holding Orion because he's crying because he doesn't want to go to school. I have his backpack on my back. My daughter is like, mom. I am clearly in mom turmoil trying to get these two children on this dang bus. and it's packed, and there's a sea of people in their seats just staring at me. And I accidentally bumped one woman on her shoulder with his bag, and she gave me the dirtiest look. And I was like, sorry, while my child is screaming on, like, crying. He wasn't screaming. He was crying in my arms, and I'm getting jostled around on a moving bus. Nobody made a move to get up. You think that I haven't, and also, let me just say, I'm sounding so mad right now, but this is what.
You do sound a little
every
mad.
Every morning I've been going through this. It's not just one day. It's every morning. People don't get up.
When you first started telling me about the bus thing last week, I was like, oh, crap. I'm like, have I ever said to my kids, like, because they're just starting to go alone to school. I'm like, have I told them, like, they need to, like, move over? I was like, I do need to reiterate it. And that's on my list of things to do. But I thought, you know what they have is they have a whole lifetime of seeing me get up anytime anyone needs a seat.
Or
run to help someone. So, like, you have to model it, too.
Yes, you have to model it. But here's what really pissed me off. We go one stop. Mind you, everybody is looking at me. Everybody's like, oh, my God, they're so disruptive. You know what I mean? Just looking at me with angry eyes. The whole back of the bus, almost, except three people, got up and got off the bus. That was their stop.
Oh, come on, man.
You couldn't get up.
That's awful.
And I, you know what I did? I was so livid at that point that I did say out loud, very loudly to my seven-year-old, all these people couldn't have gotten up for us. All these people, this was their stop. I did. It's just have a little compassion.
Yeah.
Look around. Have a little empathy. Have a little compassion.
A little consideration.
So I'm sorry I sounded so angry, you guys. It's really.
Do you feel better?
A little bit. It's really been bugging me. And it's been every morning since school started that I have this struggle.
It's going to get better.
Well, the buses also are not coming as frequently as they should. Yeah. And that's why the buses are crowded. Anyway. Okay.
Right. Yeah. I want to say a very special thank you to our two newest patrons. Jacqueline,
Ragudos.
Jacqueline Ragudos.
I think so.
Sure.
I think that's perfect.
Jackie! And Ellen Chamberlain. Thank you both.
Oh my God.
We are so appreciative that you joined us. And if you would like to join with my new friend Jackie and Ellen, do you want to help us make content for LGBTQ families? You can join our Patreon community and you can do just that. And you're doing a good thing, and you're going to get bonus content. Oh, and at the gestational carrier level, you're going to get video interviews of most of our episodes that are dropped a day early without commercials, unedited. Oh, my God. All of that. You just have to head over to patreon.com/ovariestalk.
You're going
to
want that.
All right. Let's talk about our guests, Jamie, Justin and Hugh. Let's talk about them.
Justin and Hugh. Lovely, lovely souls. And what?
Delightful.
This is a cautionary tale.
It is.
And what happened was they used an acquaintance to do a kind of like a DIY surrogacy, and the woman was also the egg donor, and she got pregnant, and then she disappeared. It's like your worst nightmare come true.
It's
tough.
And Justin reached out to us and he was like, I really want to share this. I mean, Hugh has documented everything and they wrote a book about it. I mean, they are very vocal about this and they just really thought it was important to share. And we 100% agreed. And you know who else agreed? Helen. Even Helen was like, you got to book these guys.
Yeah, we really wanted to share this story for you guys. Yeah. We want everyone to hear it.
Yeah. Okay. Helen's giving me the wrap it up signal. She's literally sitting there about to hit.
Because we can't tell the story as well as they can. So Helen.
That's right.
Helen, roll the tape.
Hit play.
Go ahead.
Roll it.
She's not real, guys.
Hugh and Justin, welcome. Justin.
Hello.
OMG. Thank you for coming.
We're so excited.
We have to start with you guys with the elevator pitch. We're going to give you 30 seconds to set up your story. Are you guys ready?
30 seconds or 30 minutes?
No. Well, you'll get to expound on it, but we're going to start with 30 seconds so people know what the hell we're talking about.
You got to give us your story in a nutshell. 30 seconds.
Okay. On your mark. Get set. Go.
You start.
Okay. It all began when we were looking to expand our family. We wanted to first foster to adopt, and then that wasn't really going through because they weren't really having classes. So we had a mutual friend come aboard and want to be a surrogate. And we thought about it long and hard. And we finally said, okay. And then it turned into pretty much a nightmare where we got ghosted and had to fight for custody for our son. And that's where we are today, 5 years later.
Whoa. And that was exactly 30 seconds.
That was good. That was 30 seconds.
I was watching her clock.
That was good. I honestly, I'm not going to lie here. I'm not going to lie. I didn't think you were going to be able to pull this off.
I didn't either.
And you guys were telling us right before we hit record that, Justin, you said you found our podcast because you were looking for stories like yours. You wanted to hear your story mirrored back to you, which absolutely. Is the whole reason this whole podcast began. And you said, Hugh, that you still really haven't heard your story completely. So we're so glad to have you tell this story about one of the things that can happen to our families.
Although we're not glad for what happened to you, because it sounds like it's horrible. But like, I mean, let's just like get right into it. You want to start a family and you decided you were going to do surrogacy. Like, talk to us about like what your plan was.
Surrogacy we had thought about before we started everything. And then we looked at like prices and stuff. And we were like, okay, we're South Georgia. It's financially not really one of our options. So we were going to go the route of foster to adopt. Mm-hmm. And at that time, they were doing a lot of staffing, mixing around and everything with defects. So it wasn't a lot of training to be done. So it was like, it was looking like it was going to take us way longer to even get certified to be foster parents. And then just, he had posted it on Facebook that we were trying to look. And then he just had one of his friends that he went to high school with randomly message and say, hey, I have always wanted to be a surrogate. I would love to do this for you guys, because I know she was in a gay relationship as well. She's like, so I know how hard it is. And she was like, all we're asking is that if we donate for y'all first, when I recover, if you will donate for me and my girlfriend to have our own baby.
So just for clarity, she would be the egg donor as well as the surrogate. Okay.
Right. And then we would be sperm donor for her and her girlfriend.
Okay.
So we told her, we were like, let us think about it. Just so happened we were going to New Orleans for the weekend. So it was kind of in our minds, we're trying to have a good time. Plus, we're trying to think about this whole, do we want to use a surrogate? So it was like a little bit of mix of both. But after the weekend, we were like, you know what? Let's do this. If we found somebody that is willing to do this for us, we should be willing to do this for them. Because our big concern was we didn't know if we were ready to be a sperm donor and have a child of ours out there that we didn't know.
Right.
But we came to grips with, okay, you know, if she's going to do it for us, let's do it for her. Because that's what
she's giving you her egg, right?
Yeah. Right.
And he has friends in South Carolina that has done this before.
The same exact setup with the egg donor who is also the surrogate.
Yeah, and they have four kids.
Wow.
Although now that they're not together anymore, but they still co-parent beautifully.
It still worked out for them. So my question to you is, how long had you been in the whole foster to adopt cycle?
Maybe a couple months.
Okay. But this came up and boom, let's do it. Let's go for it.
What's the legality? I know in New York State, you aren't allowed to be a surrogate and the egg donor. What's the legality of it where you're from? Do you know? I assume you do now.
Yeah, because she lives in Alabama. So really, there are no surrogacy laws in Alabama. There's none that permit it. There's none that prohibit it. So there wasn't really much of, from the laws that I did read, it was okay for someone to donate their eggs and be the surrogate. It was kind of like a gray area.
It was kind of like, if you want to go rogue and do this yourself, go ahead and go rogue. But could you get lawyers involved and sign up paperwork? Or does it have to be something that you do on your own completely without the law?
We could have.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we could have. But again, the laws that I was reading was pretty much the paperwork didn't really mean anything up until, because I think it was like 24, 48 hours after birth. Anybody can change their mind and be like, we're not doing it. This is done. We're going to co-parent. So we had talked about drawing up papers. And then that's when she sent us the infamous message of, well, I'd never do anything to screw y'all over. So you can trust me. And this was like before we even started going to her house and everything.
Again, we still try to get her to come over to sign papers and have like a dinner.
We said, we'll bring somebody with us
to
sign papers. But it was just, okay, well, now's not really a good time. And we'll come up with a time. We'll get the papers done. We'll get it done. Don't worry.
Red flag number two.
Right. And from the beginning, in my mind, I'm like, I am keeping record of everything. This right here is all text messages, emails, Facebook.
That's a big binder.
Posts.
For our listeners, he has a 4-inch three-ring binder.
All the way from day one where she first messaged him. From day one to now.
Wow.
Every communication. We never speak verbally because I was like, I want it to be on record. Whatever is said, I want us to be able to prove that someone said this or someone said that.
Oh, wow.
And you can't do that when it's just hearsay. She said this or he said this. Mm-hmm. That's actually kind of the boat we're in right now.
I was going to say, right from the get-go, it seems like maybe you had some little inner voice saying, I better protect myself. Because if you're like all like, she said I would never screw you over and you're going forward with this, are you just that type of person that backs everything up automatically? Or were you like, I have some weird feeling?
Usually, yes. Now, I most definitely am. But it was just something was just telling me, just in case something goes wrong. We had a lot of friends and like family that were like, you really need to make sure because this could end badly. Mm-hmm. And we always had that thought in our mind. And we were like, you know what? No, this is going to happen. We're going to have our family. Everything's going to be beautiful.
See, that's the thing. I'm the type of person that probably would, I would take her word. I mean, I would be worried in the back of my head that, oh my God, what if this goes sour? But if I trust this woman and I'm getting along with her and we have a good rapport, like I would listen to her. I would do my best to believe her. And I would.
That's exactly where I stand. Like she's willing to do this for us, then why would she change her mind?
Yeah, I should be grateful.
And it was during the whole process, her and I were texting constantly every day. Like I texted her more than I texted anybody.
Yeah.
And I didn't really know her. He's the one that went to school with her. I barely knew her. But after I texted her when we went to New Orleans, me and her, we just nonstop.
So let's go there because we kind of skipped a little bit when we talked about the legal. Justin, when she said, I'd like to do this, what did you think about it? Like, how was your relationship with her? Like, you knew her. What did you think?
So we were friends, but we didn't like hang out all the time.
So you were acquaintances, kind of.
Right. Yeah.
And then when she reached out, did your relationship change? Did you guys get close? Like, did you get together for dinners and...
I feel like that we got super duper close. Mm-hmm. We got together for dinners. We talked about what was going to happen. Both of our kids were going to be seen as like cousins. Mm-hmm. We would go to each other's birthday parties and Christmas, Thanksgiving.
How did you I just want to know this because we ask every couple this. How did you decide who would donate? You don't have to tell us whose sperm it was. We don't need to know who's the biological father.
Oh, we will. If you saw a picture, 100% identical twin.
To Justin.
To Justin.
Yeah. There's 13 years difference. Mm-hmm. I'm 42. He's 29. So I was like, you know what? It's probably best if we go with you because you're probably going to be a little bit more...
Better swimmers.
Fertile.
Yeah.
Or yeah. So I was like, so that's how we were just going to be like, you know what? That's decision made. We're not even going to worry about who's going to be bio dad.
Oh, great.
Wasn't a big deal.
Great, great.
Let's go with you. Yeah.
And so you got together, you decide, yes, let's move forward. Did you guys discuss parenting?
Oh, yeah, we have. In fact, we've even got her text where we both, because he had told her we aren't looking to co-parent because our next door neighbor at the time was actually, I will do this for y'all, but I would like to co-parent. We were like, no, that's not what we want to do. And she even said herself, I don't want to co-parent either. We were the first same-sex male couple to be married in our county.
Wow.
So we're kind of known around town.
So you're famous gays.
You're famous
gays.
Pretty much. And she had even said she didn't want to either. I mean, we live 2 hours apart. So it was like, that's really hard. If you were in the same town, that's one thing. But I mean, we're not going to do it with our next door neighbor. Why would we want to do it with someone who lives 2 hours away?
Mm-hmm. And then on paper, that seems like a really good setup.
Right.
You know, on paper, that sounds like, oh, great. You're close, but not too close. You can have your own separate families, but they will know each other. I mean, on paper, this all sounds like what a wonderful, cost-saving, effective way to make a family.
Right.
Yep.
You get a baby and you get a baby. Everybody gets a baby. Well, kind of. Okay. Everyone has a great chance to make a baby with our special 90-day level 2 donor information subscription at California Cryobank.
And also, did we mention that this is a free offer? That was me doing, that was my Oprah. You can shop sperm for free, y'all. That was Oprah.
Oh my God. Okay, well, listen, here's some info about California Cryobank. Did you know that less than 1% of applicants get through California Cryobank's stringent screening process, Robin? Did you know that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I did.
And their quality assessment is super comprehensive. We're talking checking for infectious diseases, giving physicals, genetic screening, evaluation of personal and family medical history, comprehensive psychological screening, a criminal background check, and much more. Seriously, more.
And you know what the more is, Jamie? Both what? You and I used California Cryobank, and we have lovely children.
We sure do. We have lovely children, and we love our kids, and we wouldn't have them without California Cryobank.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's true. Yeah. So if you want to love your kids as much as we do and have kids like we do, here's what you're going to do. You're going to register for a free account, use the donor search to find a donor, view donor information, select a donor, complete account forms, going to purchase the vials online over the phone with a California Cryobank service consultant. It's that easy.
Boom. Done. A level 2 donor subscription is worth $145, guys. That's a huge help. Big, huge, big.
I love the software. I mean, just go to cryobank.com, open a free account, and use the code OCT to activate your free subscription today.
That's cryobank.com, CRYOBANK.com. Make those babies, and then you're going to come and tell us about it, because that's the point.
All about it. Cut two.
Cut two. It was because I'd been texting with her so much. I remember it was May 7th in 2016. He was running a 5K with some of our friends down in Tallahassee. I went spectator, not a runner. No, thank you.
Ditto.
So I knew she had taken a pregnancy test the day before, and she said it was negative. And this was the weekend where she was supposedly would have been starting. So she was going to be taking pregnancy tests. And that morning I texted her at the run and I was like, have we tested yet? And I got back, yeah, negative. And I could just tell in how she said, yeah, negative, she was lying.
Just based on two words?
Well, it was because we had been texting so much. And I kind of knew how she talked and like when she was excited about something, because she usually was excited around the testing or the pregnancy test time. So I was like, it's a little odd that today you just said, yeah, negative. But I was like, you know what? You're thinking too much. Put it in the back of your head. Don't even worry about it. May 9th, that Monday, we're both blocked on Facebook. Yeah. So I was like, super red flag. And I went straight to him and I was like, she's pregnant. I can tell you 100%. She has blocked us on Facebook. Something's going on.
Oh my God.
So I immediately
texted her. Yeah, no conversation about trying again. Just block.
Yeah. I immediately texted her and I was like, I don't know what's going on, but we're blocked from Facebook. And she said, oh, I deactivated it. There's just so much going on right now that I just had to deactivate it. And then I had one of our friends pull her page up, not deactivated, still on Facebook. That's when it hit me. I was like, maybe that's why she came after us, because we live 2 hours away. She could be pregnant in the town she's living in. We'd never see her. We'd never know she was pregnant. Mm-hmm. Nobody up there, they all knew that she had a girlfriend, so they weren't probably going to ask questions. Hey, how'd you get pregnant? So that's when it hit me. That's probably was her end game to begin with, was, hey, let's get somebody to get me pregnant. Then we got a baby. They'll never know about it.
Seems so
it's so dark. Crazy. It's also crazy because there's all kinds of Facebook groups with donors. Like, there was other ways to go about this rather than just like stealing your child.
We later found out that another guy that she was friends with came forward and told us that she had tried this before with him. But in his mind, he was thinking, oh, she's probably going to try and hit me for child support. So no thanks. And he didn't do it. And that was, a year or two before?
Yeah.
It was like a year or two before we did it.
Huh.
But we didn't find this out until months later.
Wow.
When I started my investigating.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But you know where she lives. So.
Yes.
I mean.
And then it was a couple days later. She told me that she was having pain and she thought maybe she had ovarian cysts because she had had them before in the past. And again, in my mind, I'm like, lies, lies, lies. I know something's going on. And then she was like, I'll make a doctor's appointment. And then out of the blue, she was like, oh, but we've moved up to second on the insemination list for the clinic we went to in Dothan. I was like, why would you just randomly tell me that?
Did you know she had been in a clinic before?
No, this is the first time she told us. I was like, why would you just randomly tell me this?
Right.
That's
now
odd.
She's trying to act like she had another donor and that she got pregnant that way.
Like, oh, we're going to go to this clinic in Dothan and that's how I'm going to get pregnant instead.
Oh my
then
God.
Then she said she made the appointment. The doctor found cyst. She had to take medicine, come back in a couple months, see if they had gone away. Again, I'm like, this is all lies.
I mean, all the little lies. I don't understand why she wouldn't just say, I don't want to do this anymore. Sorry, guys. I'm backing out. You know, then you might have been less suspicious. I don't know. Lying 101.
Yeah, not even a good liar.
That's just the beginning of them. And you
But were you friendly with the girlfriend?
Kinda, not really. Her girlfriend was like really shy. Hmm. So we didn't really talk much, like maybe here or there when we went to the house. I never texted the girlfriend, never messaged the girlfriend. So I ended up at the end of May texting her and I was like, I know something's going on. I believe you're pregnant. I believe you're trying to hide from us. I don't know why you're doing this. You could have just talked to us, this and that. And then a couple of days go by and she tells me she didn't have minutes on her phone. Still don't know that.
Oh my God.
But that we were crazy for assuming anything like that, coming up with stuff out of left field. But she was not pregnant. She never would be pregnant from Justin. She hopes we find our family somewhere down the line and we have a beautiful family, but it was not going to be with her. She's done. Boom.
How did you find out she was pregnant? Like, how did you get there if she's doing this?
Mutual friend. She posted a selfie bump picture.
Oh my God, she's so dumb. August.
And we've got tons of mutual friends at the time. I guess she didn't realize. And then that friend sent us the picture and they were like, isn't this the girl that y'all said was going to be your surrogate? She's like so many months pregnant right now.
Oh my God.
And as soon as I saw it, we're like, we're calling a lawyer. It's over. Yeah.
Oh my God. Who does this? How does this?
So sorry. I know.
She
what
does
kind
this.
Of person does this?
Oh my goodness. Okay. So, I mean, the anger that must be coursing through your veins at this moment.
Oh, you have
moment,
no clue.
I don't know how I would contain myself.
It was a lot.
To this day, it's hard to contain it.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
So this whole time, I'm thinking that, yeah, she is telling the truth.
Oh,
I'm giving her the benefit of the doubt. And then whenever we found the picture, it just, my heart was shattered.
Yeah, like through that summer that we were, it was like, it wasn't in the back of my mind. That's actually when I started researching all Alabama law, because I was like, I know. The jig is up. He was still giving her the benefit of the doubt.
Right. Now what?
Now you're at a lawyer.
Okay, now we're at a lawyer. And because she lived in Alabama, we needed somebody that was licensed in Alabama. He, at the time, was only licensed in Georgia. So he was going to bring forward a breach of contract and fraud suit against her. And then he had a partner in his firm that was going to handle our custody on the Alabama side, because she was licensed. 2 weeks later, after we signed the contract with them, the Alabama lawyer goes on maternity leave. So that gets pushed. We weren't told she was pregnant at the time when we signed the contract. Yeah. It was just, she's going to handle it. Y'all are good to go. So he called her and got a hold of her. And she was like, yeah, I am pregnant, but it's not his. So I don't know what they're even talking about. But yeah, I'll do a DNA paternity test. I got no problem with that.
Oh my God.
So we're like, fine, perfect. We're going to get her. And then she emails him back and she's like, you know what? I just talked to my doctor and I'm just going to wait till the baby's born because I don't trust any pre-birth or DNA test. And we were like, it's non-invasive. Here is the research on it. The baby will not be harmed. You will not be harmed. And then it was just, y'all are just ridiculous that this is a waste of my time. Justin is not the father. I went and... One of the funniest things she said that I thought was that in her family, she was always told not to discuss her sex partners. So she's not going to tell anybody who she had sex with to get pregnant. And I was like, really? You went through all of this and now all of a sudden your sex life is private? That's when we found out she was still legally married from 2012 to a male that she had a daughter with. But she hasn't been with the guy since 2012.
Did the girlfriend
know? The girlfriend knew.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But they never told us. We just thought her daughter, there was a bio dad and he was not in the picture. We had no clue it was still her legal husband. So now we get thrown into, in Alabama, in most states, the legal husband is presumed to be the father.
Oh, no.
Regardless if he is or not.
Oh, no.
Oh my God.
Oh, do you think she knew this all along? And she,
oh God, no, possibly. Jamie, she sounds dumb as a box
of
rocks.
I don't know. She's going to listen to this. She might listen to
good,
this.
Good. I hope she does. No. She's a horrible human being.
I think possibly she knew, but I think after she acquired a lawyer, she probably knew because that was their direction they were going to take it was, hey, she's still legally married. This guy's the father. So then I had to go on a hunt and find husband.
Holy shit. Okay. All right. Okay. The plot thickens.
It's a small town. We found him.
Yes.
He signed affidavits. He went with us to court. And we're standing in front of the judge the first time. And there was like some paperwork mix up. So they had thrown us in superior court for some reason instead of family court.
Uh-oh.
So, yeah. The judge was like, okay, well, I'm transferring y'all to family court. And he was like, but tell me what's going on here. And it was her with her lawyer on one side. And then me, Justin, and her husband on the other side all together.
That's
and
good.
He was like, she told the judge, no, I had sex with my husband. That she didn't have any kind of sexual or insemination relation with Justin whatsoever. And the judge was like, this is
like she
odd.
Tried to pretend you didn't even do this
that
whole.
It didn't even happen.
Oh my God.
So the judge was like, this is odd that they're fighting for this child. And the husband's like, that is not my child. But yet you're like, no, this child belongs to my husband, the guy who doesn't want the child. But yet, why would we be fighting for this child if we knew it was the husband?
And the husband is on your side.
Yes.
Oh, did it ever come out that she's in a gay relationship with somebody else?
Not at that hearing. It didn't. Because she was still acting like that they were still on talking terms and they were doing good, her and the husband.
So, okay.
She sounds pathological, a pathological liar. Because it's just, these are insane lies that you're going to get caught in. It makes no sense.
So I do remember the judge told her at the end, he was like, ma'am, if this goes on appeal from family court, it comes back to superior court in front of me. And he was like, and I don't think you want to do that.
To her, he said that.
To her.
Okay, so this.
He kind of knew. That judge knew.
Okay.
I can tell.
Let's see.
And he's like, I'm going to send y'all to family court and I'm going to order a paternity test to have done.
Good.
Okay,
he's
good.
He's like, so we need mom, baby, Justin, and the husband to go and have this done. Because he had been born January 2nd, 2017. Still haven't seen him. Emailing constantly to her. Please, can we just meet him? Begging. Sending her certified letters. Please, can we just. No response.
Oh, my God.
I just can't even imagine what you guys are feeling at this point. Your baby is born, and you have no access, and this woman is lying, and you're spending money with courts. Like, I can't even imagine how you both were feeling.
And there's absolutely nothing that we could do.
Except wait. And then we go for the paternity test, and the husband, he didn't have money to pay for the test, so we paid for his test, because I was like, we're getting this done. We are not putting this off anymore. And then she's sitting in there with her uncle and her girlfriend.
No baby.
And we're like, where's the baby? The baby has to be here for a paternity test. The baby was outside in the car with grandma. She said, because the waiting room was so full. It was the three of us, his dad, the three of them, and like two other people. Oh, and there was like 20 empty seats.
Is it COVID times? Is it pandemic
times? No, 2017.
Oh.
2017.
I was trying to
You're definitely, Jamie, you're trying so hard to give her something.
Her. I am trying. Okay.
But no, I was like, she doesn't want to see in the baby. And we got that confirmed because when she went to go get the baby and bring him in, she had him covered in a blanket. We couldn't see him whatsoever. Completely covered.
You haven't seen pictures? Have disgusting. You seen any pictures? Nothing?
We did get one picture sent from a mutual friend
like
that she had sent
the
picture to. And she was, she didn't post anything on Facebook. She sent it privately.
Ugh.
And that friend sent it to us. She didn't know that friend had been talking to us. And as soon as we got the picture, like, boom, tears.
Oh.
And looked like a miniature Justin. And I was like, okay, now I'm just pissed because of that. And I'm pissed because it looks just like you.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I could cry for you guys. Ugh.
So then, of course, Turner comes back. 99.99999%. Justin, 0% husband.
Husband's hallelujah.
And her lawyer was like, well, that doesn't matter because they're still married. So he's going to remain recognized father. First time we went back to court, the judge said, paternity test shows him. Husband, you're released. You're no longer part
of
that.
Nice.
Thank you, Judge. Oh. Thank you, Judge.
Which, by the way, because, I mean, I don't want to make a sweeping generalization, but they're like, in my head, there's concerns. Like, you're in the South, and we hear a lot of stories about, you know, about the gays not getting, like, amazing treatment. So it's really
Alabama
wonderful so
at
far.
That.
Right.
Yeah.
You're right
so
in.
Far
you're
that
right
that's,
there.
The, they have your back.
Well, at that time, yes.
Oh, not yet.
At that time, he had our back.
All right, here we go.
So it was April 13th was when we went for that paternity hearing. that he released the husband. And the judge was like, okay, I'm going to go ahead and start. Y'all are going to get every weekend. Which, again, super rare that you're just going to throw a baby that has not met us before into our household for every weekend with her not being there. The judge was unaware that we have not met him before. He told her she had an hour and a half go get him and meet us so we could meet our child. Oh my
God. It was a Thursday.
This it was a Thursday. And we met in the McDonald's lobby.
As you do.
Area. That's where we met our son for the first time. We stayed in that McDonald's, what, 2-3 hours close to?
Yeah,
it was a long time.
Yeah, you did.
But it was the two of us, his dad, my sister, and what, two other friends? We always took like a posse with us to court. We were like, if y'all are going to need some character references, we got them here ready to go.
Robin, we have to talk about StoryWorth.
Yes.
The online service that helps a loved one share stories through thought-provoking questions about their memories and their personal thoughts.
I love StoryWorth. My sister's doing it right now. Ooh. And so do a lot of our listeners. We actually got an email, if you saw it, Jamie, a while back from someone who gifted StoryWorth to her dad. And she said it was the best gift she ever gave him. And she was thanking us for it. I mean, not that we can take the credit, Jamie, but you're welcome.
You're welcome. We just, you know what? We just keep changing lives for the better right here. That's what we're doing. Uh-huh. All right. So here's how StoryWorth works. Every week, StoryWorth emails a different story prompt. Questions that you never thought to ask, like what is one of the strangest things that has ever happened to you, or what's a small decision you made that ended up having a big impact on your life, you know, cool stuff. Mm-hmm. And listen, I learned some crazy things about my mom that I never knew.
I bet you
and
did.
And it's not my business to tell, but Mama Sue has lived a bit. I will tell you that.
Who knew? I mean, I love me some Mama Sue for that.
Me too.
I wish this had been around for my parents, honestly, because I would love to have those memories. And and what's cool is that after 1 year, StoryWorth will compile every story, including photos, into a beautiful keepsake book that's shipped for free. And you can order multiple copies for your siblings and children or other relatives.
I am really excited to be able to share the book from my mom with my kids so that they're always going to have a piece of Nana in her own words for themselves when she's gone. You know, it's really special.
You heard Jamie. Gift this to your loved ones. StoryWorth is a meaningful gift you and your family can treasure forever. So get started right away with no shipping required by going to StoryWorth.com/OCT. You're going to get $10 off your first purchase.
That's StoryWorth.com/OCT for $10 off. Wait, I'm just realizing something. You didn't even get to name him.
Right.
Oh my God.
Jesus, I didn't think of that.
Yeah, ours, what we came up with from the beginning, before he was even born, I went and got this tattoo. I don't know if you can see it.
Kind of.
It's Gus from Cinderella.
Gus.
Because we were going to name him that because we found out in August that he was going to be born. And we got married in Savannah, Chatham County. So we wanted to name him Augustus Chat. To have some meaning. She named him Thomas Nathaniel after Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, okay.
Oh my God.
I mean, to each their own.
I mean, I'm laughing at the absurdity of this woman.
Well, you're finally in McDonald's for the first time. You spent 3 hours. You did all the things you could possibly do, right? Like you're just dadding it up.
Fed them, changed them,
rocked him. Kind of hard to rock him in those McDonald's chairs, but I still did it. And that weekend just happened to be Easter. So we were like, hallelujah, we're going to get his first Easter. As we were leaving McDonald's on that Thursday, she texts us and wants to know, is there any possible way she could have him for Easter so she could have him for his first Easter? And I almost threw the phone out the window.
Lost your mind?
I was like, the nerve of her to keep him from us for pretty much 3.5 months and then say, hey, do you mind if I get the first Easter? Because I would really like to have it.
This is going
to
be a pattern, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So how long did you have him for weekends before it got ratcheted up? What was the next step in court? Because I assume you're not done, that you want to move this. You're like, we're getting our child.
Right. So it was June of 2017. So it was like just a couple months later. And we go back to court because right now that was just a temporary fix. And then we went to court and the judge made it to where split joint custody. And then it would be week on, week off. Like mm-hmm. we would have a week, she would have a week. Mm-hmm. We would have a week, she would have a week. And it would just continue like that. And then we would split holidays. We still were not happy with this. The reason why we did it was because the GAO came to us and he was like, hey, this is what I'm recommending. And if y'all don't want to do this, then he's going to set it for a hearing. And that could take up to 6 months.
Right.
So
and we didn't
at first we were like, oh my God, we want more time with him, but we don't want to just have weekends for another 6 months.
Yeah. Yeah. And right. then you don't know what the outcome is going to be with that.
Exactly.
And but the whole thing is when you went into this, you were not sharing custody.
Yes.
This was right. your baby.
Yeah. Yeah, now all of a sudden you're forced into some co-parenting thing with a lunatic.
Oh my God.
I hope you are listening.
I know. You just woman. Really want to make this woman mad, Robin. I'm not judging. I mean, I don't like what she did to you at all.
You
this
are too
really
judging.
Wrong.
She stinks.
Her and I still to this day don't get along. She has me on block. Yeah. So
well, I mean
yeah. Yeah. Now does that so does that end it? Like that's where you're at? Is like you have joint
no.
custody?
So No.
Okay, so now the thing that really irritated me after that hearing that we went to where the GAO was like, this is what I'm recommending. After everything was done and we agreed and the judge said, boom, that's what we're doing. Here's the order. He came back, the GAO came back up to me and he said, you know what? I really didn't get to hear her side of the story or go through over everything. And I was like, are you kidding me? You just said this is what you're recommending and you haven't even done your work.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, I feel like had you done your work, this would not have been what you recommended.
Yeah.
But we were stuck because we said, okay, this is what we're going to do. So again, we just kept the record keeping and everything. There was doctor's appointments she would schedule and then cancel. Ones that she would schedule, tell us about, we would show up. And then when we showed up, found out, oh, nope, she called the day before and rescheduled it. Didn't tell y'all. So we drove 2 hours for nothing and drove 2 hours back for nothing. Took the days off of work. It was kind of like a game to her, I guess, like to see just how mad she could get us. One time that really made me mad, she texted him. It was maybe 10-ish at night. And she was like, I'm running him to the ER. He's got fever, fussing, blah, blah, blah. It's like 103. I'm heading there. Just wanted to let y'all know because we had to immediately notify the other parent. If something happened.
Oh, I was going to say, well, that's something to her merit. But no, she had to do that. It was court ordered. Okay.
And then, yeah, it was
court
ordered.
Stop trying, Jamie. Stop trying.
So then him and I and one of our friends jump in the car, drive 2 hours. Yeah. We're up there. Emergency room. Mm-hmm. We get there. It's her and her girlfriend and then the daughter. And we're there for hours. Ended up being, I think, just an ear infection. The daughter, she saw we were there. And she was like, well, he gets to see his dad. How come I can't see mine?
Oh.
And at this point, we knew the husband, the father of her, had been trying because he was trying to get me to help him make up some
oh my God.
Paperwork so he could get more custody of her. And she told him that he never asked about her and that that's why she doesn't get to see him. And at that point, I was like fuming.
He
was
in the back with. She said that to the daughter in front of you.
That just makes me furious that I know for a fact, and he has showed me the text, hey, can I see her? Can we arrange something, whatever, anything?
Mm.
And she would just flat out tell him no, that he would have to go through the court to see her, even though he was supposed to get to see her. He was supposed to have visitation. But for her to tell her that, I was like, you don't know how damaging that is to a child to hear that your parent doesn't want to see you or never asked about you.
Yeah.
But yet here you are telling her when you know for a fact he has been asking and he wants to see her.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and it just would make me think, like, what lies are you going to be telling in the halftime that you have my child? What lies are you going to be telling?
Exactly.
So now what happens?
Yeah. How long are you in this partial custody phase?
So we're still keeping records and filing papers. And we go back, God, I want to say it was the next summer is when we finally get to go back.
So you've had a year of joint custody with her.
It was like almost 2 years of joint.
Wow.
Wow.
But the reason why we went back in 2019 was because in April of 2019, we were sitting in church and we get a message from the girlfriend or who we thought was the girlfriend.
Uh-oh.
Hey, I need to talk to y'all. So we're like, we're in church. We'll call you whenever we get out. And at that time, I'm like, preacher, preach fast, hurry it up. Let's get to the end. We got stuff we got to do. Somebody's got something to tell us.
I'd be like, God, we'll check in with you later.
Yes. We see you, God. We're here. We'll be back. So we call the girlfriend, and she informs us that a month prior, she has moved out of the house and moved in with someone else in Georgia, her new girlfriend.
Wait, who moved out?
She like moved states. The mom.
The mom?
Yes.
Had the mom. Moved out.
Moved out, moved across state lines.
Which that's got to be illegal.
And is now in a new relationship with someone else that the three of them worked together at Dairy Queen.
And oh my God.
The mom cheated and is now with
this person,
the new girlfriend.
Oh.
But this whole time we're sending him, we're thinking we're sending him to her house in Alabama.
Do you?
No.
Does she? Who pick? Who does the pickup? Like, do you drop off?
Like we.
You meet.
Yeah, we
meet.
Did like a mutual meeting point.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so that's how she got away with it. Oh.
Because we never knew where he was going.
But the girlfriend decides, listen, I know she's lying. Let me
the
tell
ex,
them.
Yeah.
The ex.
And then we found out during that whole time, the two of them, the ex and the mom, were co-parenting together and like moving him from house to house, house to house. They were co-parenting.
Are you kidding me?
And she actually told the ex that, yeah, you're pretty much his daddy.
To the ex-girlfriend.
To the ex-girlfriend.
Oh my.
That she was pretty much the daddy to our son.
So instead of keeping her time, she's splitting the baby. So the now kid is in three homes.
Right. So it's like he's with a week with us and then like half a week with the ex, half a week with her.
Oh my God.
Fuck.
Oh my God.
So then we're like, we're done. Taking it back to court. And
now you're screaming, emergency injunction. Like, I don't even know if that's real, but that's what I would do.
Yeah, the emergency, it took, we filed it in April when we found out, and we didn't get back into court until July. That's how long the emergency took.
Ugh.
And by that time, she moved back to Alabama.
Also, you were sending the baby to a house that you were not in.
Somebody else's house.
So
yeah,
exactly. And it was weird because from what I gathered from the text, it was like she would send him. And then when the ex didn't have him, the ex had her daughter. So it was like,
oh,
the
my
two kids
God.
Were like hardly ever together.
So I can't imagine how bad this is for the kid too. You know, that all that like shuttling around and.
Exactly. And that we had no clue what was going on.
Well,
whatsoever.
I think just the lies. The lies are what's going to damage these children. All the lies.
Yes.
In July 2019, we go back and A, we couldn't find any lawyer in the area because she had gone to all of the lawyers in the area. And they were like, we can't take your case, conflict of interest, because we've already heard about it.
Oh.
So we were like, fine. So since day one, the custody side has pretty much been the two of us fighting for ourselves.
Right.
During this time, the judge was being a little lenient, letting me speak a little bit, even though it was technically between Justin and her because they were bio parents. And I was just technically a step parent.
Mm-hmm.
So he was being lenient, but then at like one point he was like, are you his lawyer or his husband? He was like, because you got a lot of legal talk. And I was like, I've been preparing for this for years. I was like, so.
Also, shut up. And also, like, just to be clear, like the LGBTQ like discrimination and that really pisses me off because it's you two that planned to have this baby. You two that, you know, were lied to. And I know Justin is the biological donor, but still, like. That's
this
bullshit.
Was your baby from
right.
the start.
Yeah, they were like,
this
we're not going to treat babies. It as a surrogacy because surrogacy's not really legal in Alabama. And then I piped up and I said, there's also no statute that prohibits surrogacy. So we're kind of at a moot point here.
Good
so
you
can't fight that there is no surrogacy when it doesn't say that
doesn't
we can't
say
do
anything.
Surrogacy. I think it was after that hearing that her lawyer dropped her and she was on her own.
I just thought of something else here. So you were not on the birth certificate. You were not legally recognized as fathers at all. Then we get the bio test and we find out, yes, Justin is biologically a parent.
Right.
Did you then get legal rights? Like, are you known legally as bio dad to this baby, Justin?
Yes.
Yes. And then, but now
yes.
Hugh.
He immediately got the rights. I am still.
Nothing.
Step parent.
But are you a step, like, are you legally, like, because, you know,
no.
We had to do second parent adoption, make sure that. All of us non-bio moms actually are legally have the legal rights to the kid. You don't, Hugh, you haven't been able to do any of that. So you are in name only step parent, right?
Because she refuses to step away.
Yeah, she would have to relinquish her rights.
Right?
You can't have three parents.
It's really not fair what she's done because this, none of this should have happened to you. This should have been your baby. You should have been able to make all of the decisions. There should have been none of these problems. But now
he was supposed to be in the delivery room to cut the cord.
Of course. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That you was too, part though, of the agreement too.
Like, I mean, this is your baby.
Oh, not me. I'm not good with our blood and guts.
Okay. No. So not you. But
no, no. I will be happy to be right outside the door.
She's put such a terrible wrench in this, and it's not fair. Because now there is a mother who really does want rights to this baby. And you can't take a baby away from a mother either, right? Like, I mean, I don't know. So what?
Although
what,
she was an egg donor. She wasn't a mother.
She was an egg donor.
She agreed to be an egg donor.
I know. It's, she's really fucked things up. And it makes me mad.
Jamie, without a trust or a will, how will your loved ones know your wishes? I mean, who gets your money, your home, your kids? You have to avoid that confusion and ensure that your family will be taken care of by creating an estate plan at trustandwill.com. Jamie, you know how strongly I feel about having everything buttoned up in that department.
Yes, we all do, Robin. Mm-hmm. We all know how strongly you feel. But you are right in this instance because it's important, especially for our LGBTQ families. Mm-hmm. This is very important. And at trustandwill.com, setting up an estate plan is really simple, convenient, and super secure. For as little as $39, you can nominate guardians for your children, determine who gets your stuff, and plan for future medical care, all from the comfort of your own home. Boom.
Yeah, and because, Jamie, hiring a traditional estate attorney can cost thousands, and using a one-size-fits-all template isn't nearly specialized enough.
Not for our families especially. So Trust and Will documents are designed by estate planning experts and customized for the state that you live in. And with live customer support 7 days a week, trustandwill.com's team is available to answer any questions you have.
I mean, they make it easy. You're just going to take the simple quiz that they have, and it helps with the logistics based on your needs. Plus, you gain peace of mind knowing that your family and everything you care about is taken care of, and it's secure.
Yes, and Trust and Will is the most trusted name in online estate planning, the category leader, and they've helped hundreds of thousands of people protect their families' assets and their legacies.
Gain peace of mind at trustandwill.com/OCT, and you're going to get 10% off, plus free shipping, your customized legal documents.
Yeah, don't wait. Go right now. This is really important. Get 10% off, plus free shipping at trustandwill.com/OCT.
trustandwill.com/OCT.
So we go in July 2019, and he gets full custody.
Oh.
And then she gets every weekend. Okay. Kind of a reversal of how it all began.
Oh, it started. Okay. Yeah.
So that goes on for a few months. April or May, 2020. Hey, got to talk to y'all about something. I'm moving to Texas.
Whoa.
Yeah. So we were like, we're not commuting. Me every other near. Weekend.
No.
And we were like, no, no, no. So she, at first she came to us with, she wanted 4 weeks during the summer where she would fly to come and get him. They would fly back out because driving would take too long. And if at any point we felt unsafe that he was out there, she would immediately send him back and pay, or fly us out there to get him, pay for all expenses.
I
was like, this girl could barely pay her rent. Yeah. How's she going to pay for all these plane tickets?
She also couldn't keep her promise to you about giving you a baby.
Yeah. We were like, we countered back with 2 weeks, and then we agreed on 3 weeks. Wrote it up in an order, signed it, took it to her. She signed it with her current girlfriend at the time as a witness. We sent the papers to the court, but it was during COVID time. A whole bunch of paperwork went missing. So they never got it. However, we still had our copy. She had her copy spelled out. This is what's going to happen. Of course, at the time, we're thinking, perfect. She was like, she did say, if I'm in town for Christmas, could I maybe see him? And we were like, yeah, just let us know. We'll try and arrange something. Like, so you can either come here or we can go there, wherever you are in the area, so you can see him. So we're like, no problem. Then it was August, just 3 months later, we get a text saying,
oh, here we go.
Hey, I'm going to be back in town for the weekend. My uncle's not doing so good, and we really want to see him. And our son. So we're going to be there. Could we maybe arrange? And we were like, actually, we were kind of busy that weekend. She gets to town and then she's like, well, how about next weekend? And we were like, next weekend? You're only going to be here 2-3 days. Oh, well, I'm going to be here for like 2 weeks. Now, a couple of days later, just want to let y'all know I'm back for good. We were like, well, we're going to stick to the order that you signed because you're not supposed to get him until July. So that's what's going to happen. And she's like, nope, that order didn't get sent with the judge or whatever. So we're not going by it. I want back all my every other weekend. I want my shared holidays. It became, I never signed that paper to, y'all must have forged my name on that paper.
Oh, geez.
To, well, yeah, I signed it, but they knew I was coming back. We didn't. Why would you had in the order, you would be come get him in July of 2021. You said nothing about being gone for 3 months. Like it's, she was just spurting out whatever would stick to the wall.
Yeah.
Like yeah. whatever anybody would believe. And she was posting all this like on Facebook, dogging him, saying he was keeping her child from her. It was like a huge rampage she went on. Huge. To the point where he actually had to go to the police department and try and file a report for harassment. But they were like, we can't do anything unless she physically does something.
Oh, great. That's
so. I mean, it was just text after text telling us that she would get him and see him.
Yeah, she threatened whenever, to come to my house and get him.
Whenever and wherever she wanted. And that's when we were like, we're nervous now.
Yeah, I'd be nervous.
Because she knew where we live.
Yeah, I'm nervous for the
baby. She's in the area. And so then it was, after they wouldn't file anything, we let her know. Still going on back and forth. And then finally she said she talked to the girlfriend and she realized that she did have some kind of issues. And she saw how they were scary and probably not safe. So she agreed she would get a mental evaluation done.
Oh.
Because that's what we were like, if you get a mental evaluation done and everything comes back and everything's gravy, then we'll talk about more visitation.
Okay. Okay.
And then just do it on our own.
Gracious as far as I'm concerned.
Right. I mean, we could have just been like, you know what, just at first we were like, just file with the court when she was being mean.
Yeah.
But then it was when she's like, well, I was like, it took you all this time to talk to your girlfriend to find out that you had some issues going on.
I mean, if she really needs help, then, you know, it's good that you pushed for
because this. She had told us help. For the past 10 years, she supposedly had bipolar disorder.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Right.
But did not have medication for it or wasn't taking her medication for it.
Right. Right. She needs
help. That was one of our biggest concerns.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she said, well, when I get my evaluation done, I will send y'all all the paperwork. But y'all see everything is okay. Y'all will have access to whatever. And then we'll talk about the visitation. She goes one place in the area. They wouldn't take her. So she picks another place here in our area that is not really known to give like correct evaluations. Mm. If I can like put it that way. Like they just pretty much, if you say you're okay, they'll sign the paper and say, okay, you're okay.
Right. They help people that want to be helped.
Yeah. If you want to get help, then they'll help you. Mm. If you don't want help and you just say, hey, I need you to sign this paper saying that I'm cool so I can file with the court, then can you please do that? Mm-hmm. So apparently she got it done. She said everything was fine. I was like, okay, great. Send us the papers. No, you'll have to go through the court to get them. I was like, well, fine.
Then we're not changing our agreement.
I said, then you'll have to go through the court to get your visitation. And then it started back on the whole, we're not sticking by that agreement that I signed before I moved. And I was like,
so exhausting.
I'm exhausted for you.
And it was funny because, well, I mean, not funny, but because while she was in Texas, she really only checked on him 5 times and only talked to him a handful of times too.
Oh,
and
because it was we initiated.
Yeah, we initiated the calls. We were like, hey, he would actually like to talk to you. Oh. Do you have time? Oh. She initiated one phone call.
Okay, and that's interesting.
The whole 3 months she was gone.
Because this whole story, the one thing I've been thinking is the only thing this woman has been consistent on is the fact that she still wants rights to the child. That's the only consistency.
To this day, she still don't check on.
And I even had for like the judge, I was like, these are the dates and these are the times where we initiated the phone call with her or we initiated checking on him. And I was like, and this is the one time she initiated the phone call.
Hmm.
And she told the judge, she was like, that's the bold-faced lie. I did more than that. And he was like, well, you don't have anything to show me that you did. And he's got to the minute how many minutes you spent on the phone with the child.
Right.
He's like, so I'm kind of going to go on what they're showing me and not just you saying, oh, I did call more times.
Hmm.
But so there was that along with the whole moving back and we were in contempt for stealing away all her visitation. So as soon as we go in the courtroom, the judge asked her, he said, ma'am, did you sign this paper? Because he was like, we found the paper in the office. He was like, he said, I thought I signed it, but apparently I did.
Ugh.
It was lost.
Thanks a lot, judge.
But I would have signed it. Because at first I did call the court beforehand and I was like, hey, we have the paperwork. Y'all have the paper. I sent it to you and I'll fax it to you again. And they were like, well, could you get her to sign it in front of a notary now? And I was like, that will never happen because she'll never do that. Yeah. They're like, well, then she's got to come to court to get her visitation. They didn't say, okay, well, then it doesn't count. They said, if she wants her visitation back, she's got to come to court. So we told her that, and she's like, fine. But he asked her, he was like, did you sign it? And she's like, yes, I did. And he said, then it's legal and binding.
Oh, she said she did.
She told him she did.
Okay.
So I was like, but we were like, this whole time, you've been telling everybody you didn't sign it, and we faked your signature on it.
My God, my God.
And fighting with us when you just in 5 seconds told him, yes, I did sign it.
Ay, ay, ay. It's exhausting.
It's maddening.
Exhausting, maddening.
So is that where you are now?
Well, that was at that point we had told him about the mental evaluation, and she had told us in the GAL she brought it with her in her little binder that she had, a binder that she never took one paper out of. But she was like, I've got it in my binder.
I better bring a binder.
We go in front of the judge, and then he was like, do you have those papers? And she's like, no, I left them at home. And the GAL and I looked at each other and we were like, you just said in the hallway you had them with you, but now they're at home. And then she was like, well, if I go get them real quick and bring them back, then can I get my visitation? He was like, no, ma'am. I've got too much on my agenda today. He was like, you got 7 days to get me the mental evaluation paper. And then, of course, it was through the place that's not super credible. Mm-hmm. So they went on. Apparently, she had maybe 3 phone calls. And they diagnosed her as not being bipolar. So the judge believed that mental evaluation. So he did give her back for every other weekend. In November this past year, she told one of our friends, her and Justin had a private agreement that they would have the baby and raise him together.
Yeah. My thing is, if that did happen, we still wasn't co-parenting.
Right.
Like, if that
because
was the
she still
agreement,
was hiding him from us.
Yeah, we wasn't. Yeah.
And we had to fight for custody.
Yeah. We was begging for, right. Well, I was begging for her to let him see us.
Right.
We've got messages where she sent friends that before he was even born, that, yeah, she was our surrogate, but then we backed out of the agreement and just left her high and dry. But then we saw she was pregnant and going to have him, and we were like, you know what? Yeah, we do custody. She's like, yeah, they just stopped talking to me for some reason. And I was like, because you blocked us.
Right.
That's why we stopped talking to you.
She needs help. She needs help.
Yeah, I mean,
she does need help.
She does need help, it sounds like. And I have to ask, like, what's your, I hate to say regrets, but like, because I think that's unfair, but like, what would you do differently, or what would be your advice to young Hugh and Justin's? Like, what's your advice for other people in the community to not end up where you ended up?
I do have a lot of people come forward and ask me about the paperwork aspect. And I'm like, honestly, because it's a surrogacy, the paperwork really doesn't mean anything until after birth. And that's like 24, 48 hours later. Mm. You could have whatever, but I mean, it would protect you in the event that doesn't happen. Like if she were to change her mind a month later, mm-hmm. then yeah, that paperwork absolutely will help you. But yeah, and she's even told people that he grew in her stomach and she became attached and that she realized she couldn't give him up. But we were like, that's not what you told us.
Right.
And also, had you come to us with that, we could have done something.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's not what you told us. He wasn't the father.
Right.
Do you think if you had used an egg donor, like with her as a surrogate, that would have changed things? Or like, is that, would you recommend that? Or like, I mean, I know finances were a consideration and like, not everybody's got $200,000 laying around. I don't.
Right.
So like,
I think, but within Alabama, with them not having the surrogacy laws really spelled out, that then it could have become a 3-person issue mm-hmm. between egg donor, surrogate, and sperm donor. Because it doesn't really say, hey, if it's not your egg, then you really don't have a right, because the surrogate really could factor in then, because there are really no laws about it. Mm-hmm. So the surrogate could make the fight that, hey, I grew the child in my womb, and I grew attached, so I should have some kind of custody.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think this is why the agencies exist.
Right, because
but then it's
they
like,
met these women,
you know,
out.
You guys were, yeah, and also they have the legal team on staff, and they are going to walk you through whatever you can to protect yourself, and maybe the person, like just in the way a sperm donor relinquishes their right when they donate, an egg donor might have already done that. So it's like, I think that's why it exists, but then it's also like it's cost prohibitive to many people. So it's like, right. Well, you're back in this position of you were trying to do something that was going to work for you all.
And again, we've got friends where it's worked out beautifully.
Right.
Yeah.
So right. We were like, this will be us too.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
It went from a dream to a complete nightmare.
Right. But you do have
son. Like some people say, would you not do it? And I'm like, absolutely not, because then we wouldn't have him.
Exactly.
I wouldn't trade that for the world.
Right, right.
So I was like, yeah, it's been a nightmare, but we have him. Mm-hmm. But we still kind of live in a nightmare. He doesn't know we live in a nightmare because he never sees it. But we are still living in it outside of the family life.
Yeah, it's exhausting and maddening.
Well, you guys, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. I mean, it's a cautionary tale. It's heartbreaking. It's all the things. But we hope that your son is okay in the end. And I don't know, I have to believe with you two fighting for him, he will be. Will you tell people where they can read your blog and get information about your book?
The blog is through Facebook. It's just The Journey of a Mouse. Mm-hmm. And then the book is on Amazon. There's ebook and paperback, and it's called The Journey of a Mouse. I think there's a lot of things with kind of associated with that title. So usually most people are just searching my name, Hugh McStay Harrison, and the book pops up. But if you would like to know more about in detail, depth, everything from day one, it's all in the book.
Okay. Oh my God.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. We're so glad you reached out.
Yeah, guys. Thank you.
We are glad that we could share and then possibly help others that, and maybe a little warning to, if you're thinking about it, this is what you need to do.
There's that. And then there's also might be someone out there who has a similar story and you might have just made them feel a little bit less alone.
I will say one bright side that we just found out Friday was because we are foster to adopt parents. Little boy, we have been fostering for 2.5 years.
Oh, yeah. Congrats.
We've been fostering a little boy for 2.5 years. He's 3.5 now. Parents' rights were just terminated this past Friday. So now we wait 30 days before we start adoption.
Oh, well, congratulations.
That's wonderful.
So we actually have 2 toddlers, a 3 and a 4-year-old.
Oh, God
so
bless
if anybody
you.
Would like to come help us, that would be wonderful.
Bless your hearts. Nope.
Let's be really.
4 boys in one house.
Really stringent about who we let help you, though.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Yes.
Okay.
We need a resume and references.
Them. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Well,
all right. Thank you so much, guys.
Yeah.
Thank
we
y'all.
Wish
thank
you the
y'all.
Best. Wow. Whew. Oh, my goodness
Can you
gracious.
Imagine Jamie living through what they've been through.
No, it's like your worst fear. I mean,
yeah.
Ugh. I mean, I feel so.
It feels sad for everyone. You know what I mean? Like
everyone.
You want that lady to get the help that she needs and you want the best for their son. But like, there was something so uplifting about, you know, them getting ready to adopt their other child. And like, at least there's that. And those two, they're not ever going to stop fighting for what's best for that kid. And that's amazing.
I just hope everything works out for them. And I also do want to say that I do hope that she gets some help too. She gets the help she needs. Cause I think she clearly needs some help. Also, what you should do is go get our book, If These Ovaries Could Talk, The Things We've Learned About Making an LGBTQ Family, at all major retailers. And if you want to buy locally, you go ahead and check IndieBound because it's there too. You can also get the audiobook, which Robin and I do the reading. So like Woo! You get to listen to us some more. And that is available on Amazon and iTunes. And if you get it, please do not be afraid to review it on Amazon or Goodreads because those help us get the book out to even more people.
Awesome. And our last point of order is up next on the live stream, which is this coming Thursday, 9:30 at 4 p.m. Eastern. We have a Where Are They Now episode with our former guests, Liz from Brit and Liz. Mm-hmm, and if you don't remember that episode, gosh, I don't know how could you?
Right.
I'm just kidding. If you don't remember that episode, it was season 4, episode 6.
There's a lot of episodes to remember at this point.
Go back and check them out. But they're going to talk about how their baby process ended up because they were trying, you'll remember from the episode. Mm-hmm. And there's something to report there. Mm-hmm. And Liz is going to talk about the Queer Birth Project, which is this new project she's working on. And I'm excited. So bring your questions and your comments. And if you miss it live, you can also catch it on our YouTube page later.
Come hang out with us because it's always fun. And sometimes we have a cocktail.
Sometimes.
All right. Let's keep this conversation going. Folks, join us on the social Ovaries Talk on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And we are also If These Ovaries Could Talk on YouTube. And don't forget to support the podcast and join our community on Patreon at patreon.com/ovaries talk. That's where you're going to get that bonus content, which is super fun.
Yes. And a huge, huge thank you to our sponsors, Trust and Will, Storyworth, and California Cryobank. Oh, and
Ellen
and Jackie and all of you other Patreons, we thank you for helping us make this show.
We thank you for listening anyway. We love you guys. Okay. All right.
All right. Eggs.
Ovaries.
Clear a seat on the bus for moms.
Really? Out. Come on, people. Folks.
Ugh. If these ovaries could talk, they would say, eggs, ovaries, out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.